Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Hey everyone, I am so excited to introduce you to my guest today. His name is Solomon Schmidt, and some of you may be familiar with him. He is a 15-year-old high school student who has authored 3 history books, and we're going to get to talk about those today. And Solomon, welcome to the podcast. I'm really excited to have you on today.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be on. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we got to talk to your sister recently and talk with her about her books, and we've talked to your mom, and now I'm excited to get to talk to you. Tell our listeners about these History Bites books that you have written. You've got 3 of them so far, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, tell us about them.
Okay, so the first one is U.S. History Bites, published in 2016. And it just gives you an overview of American history from Christopher Columbus to modern day in 30 sections. And each one has the same format, with pictures, some text, vocabulary, fun fact, interview questions. It just gives you the facts that I believe every American should know about each of the major events in U.S. history. And then the second one is U.S. Presidential History Bites. It goes really well with the first one. And it's 45 sections formatted the same way as the first, covering the lives of all our presidents from Washington up to President Trump, which was published last year. And then my third one, which I published this year, is on the author J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And it's formatted the same way as the other two. And the first 7 sections give an introduction to his life with pictures. And the second half of the book has 5 sections giving synopses of his most famous books. The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, which are 3 books in one, and The Silmarillion.
That's great. Now, is he your favorite author?
Yes, my favorite book is, of course, the Bible, but if I had to choose any book written by a human author, if you kind of get what I mean, of course, the Bible is written by inspired men.
Sure.
But it would definitely be The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
But I also really do admire C.S. Lewis and R.C. Sproul.
Okay. Wow, that's great. I love Lewis. He's by far one of my favorites. My girls are reading through Chronicles of Narnia right now and really enjoying it. And they're just so excellently written. I love them. These books are amazing. And how did you come to write these history books? What is the story behind that? Because you were 12 when you started History Bites, which is your first one, the U.S. History Bites, correct?
Yes, started writing when I was 11, published it 12, I believe, yes.
Okay, and how did that come to be?
So my dad and I were sitting at his workbench one day in the basement, and he knew, of course, that I had a deep love for history. And so he said, "Hey, Solomon, why don't you write a history book for kids?" And I was 11 at the time. And I thought, that might be fun. And then a day or two later, I'm talking with my mom at the counter, and she kind of endorses the idea, too. And she says, "Go for it, buddy. You should do it." So around that time, I don't remember exactly the day or month. I think it was in 2015. I wrote the first section, which is Christopher Columbus and Exploration. And then I just kind of, I wasn't on a very regimented schedule. I guess I didn't, since I was 11 at the time, I didn't really have it in my mindset that this could actually be a published book. I don't think I was thinking it as much as like with my second book, that I kept it on a very organized schedule to get it finished for a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took it, got a section done every couple weeks. I brought it on a vacation to the Adirondacks, did a section or two there. I can remember doing the Cuban Missile Crisis while we were at Lake George. That just kind of stuck with me. And then I got to the end. I had done 29 sections, and I thought I was done. My mom was like, "Nope, sorry. I'm a homeschool mom, and I know other homeschool moms or the people that see this book are going to want to have 30 sections, not 29. So I'm like, okay. So I woke up early in the morning the one day, and I did the second Great Awakening, and then it was done. And then we kind of took it slow through the editing process. We edited it several times. A professional editor who was a friend of my dad actually edited it for free and helped us catch a lot of small but actually pretty important mistakes, like spelling World War I with a 1 instead of a Roman numeral 1, a few other things. And then we got it published through a company called CreateSpace. But then about a week later, we realized I was making 27 cents a book on each because they were ripping me off, combined with Amazon's prices. And so we quickly switched over for the second printing to a company called DocuCopies. And then for the third printing, which is the one I'm on right now that I was selling this year, we go through a company called Mill City Press in Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay. That's great. Now, how did you narrow it down to 30? I mean, obviously, there are a whole lot more than 30 major events in U.S. history. Did you have some kind of an outline that you went through and said, okay, this, you know, here's all the major events. Now let's narrow this down to 30. Or did you pick your 30 favorite?
So if one of the guides I used, I would say, is Classical Conversations Timeline History Cards. Mm-hmm. And so my mom had had us read through those this year, and I noticed some of the events that I wanted to put into History Bites on the cards. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should put that one in. And so really it was just a matter of, I knew I wanted to start with Columbus and end with a section on the new millennium, mm-hmm. which at the time went up to President Obama. And so in between then, there were, of course, some sections that I knew were a must: the American Revolution, the Industrial Revolution, the War between the States, World War One, World War Two, you name it. And then in between those time periods, I just started looking at, okay, how can I summarize the whole thing of Western expansion into just one section? Because it's obviously an important part of our history, but I'm trying to make it easy for kids to understand and accessible for just any ordinary person to pick up. So really, it came down to a matter of, like, should I put in the Vietnam War or the Persian Gulf War? Mm. And then, of course, I would choose the one that was more famous, which in that case would be Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And so it just came down to what I believed was not necessarily a more important event, but in some cases more famous or significant or well-known.
Sure.
If you kind of get what I mean.
Sure. So when you started this, 11 years old when you first came up with the idea, and so were you in fifth grade?
I believe I was. I think it was my first year that I was homeschooled, because I vividly remember I was so excited about being home for the first year, and it allowed me to have a little more time and freedom to do that, because I wouldn't be, you know, controlled by other kids' schedules at school, because I was always a fast worker at school. So when I came home, all of a sudden I realized that I could work at my normal pace but not have to be slowed down by 20 other kids in the classroom. So it allowed me a lot more time at the end of the day to be able to work on that, which I'm very thankful for.
Sure. Okay, so you went to school from kindergarten through fourth grade, and then in fifth grade you came home and you were able to work on this at home because you were home being homeschooled.
Yes, I was private schooled at a small Christian school in our area until fourth grade.
Okay. Okay, wow. What a great opportunity for you to be able to be home and do this. What about U.S. Presidential History Bites? That's your second book that you had come out. And we have both. We've got U.S. History Bites and U.S. Presidential History Bites. You actually were out of the Tolkien one when we last saw you.
Yeah, so basically that, over the summer in 2016, my mom basically said, okay, Solomon, this book, if you want to do this book, you're going to have to get on a regimented schedule, because as you've seen, it's a pretty big book. It's mm-hmm. still in the History Bites format, but it's 300 pages,
sure.
or about that. So over the summer, I just got on a schedule about 2 to 3 sections a day for about a month and a half, and I had a minimum of, my mom required me, of 7 different sources from homeschool and history curriculum that my mom and I both trusted and was accurate, and I would just take the biographical information, not the analyzing information, mm-hmm. biographical information, birth to death, what got them into politics, what was their major accomplishment as president, and so basically I got up to President Obama, and we waited in anticipation for election night, and we got the results. I got some information on the life of Donald Trump, and finished the section, I think, in December, and it was ready to be published. It was in the publishing stages when I was on Fox, because I vividly remember having the spiral-bound copy of it to give to Sean Spicer when we met him after the show. Mm.
So cool. I love that you were able to get Trump in there. I think that's so cool. Now, do you have a favorite president or a couple favorites?
So I do have a couple favorite, and I hope this won't, depending on if people disagree with me or not, make them not want to buy my book. I'd like to say as an aside, I have my own opinions, but my mom, who's a very careful editor, made sure that she told me before I started my book to leave opinions out of it, just tell the facts.
Sure.
And that's why I have a session on my top five best and bottom five worst presidents.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
I would put on top five for me would be Ronald Reagan. I've liked him since I was a kid, and I still haven't found I found reasons that things I disagree with him on, but overall I really like him. Calvin Coolidge, Rutherford B. Hayes, George Washington, and probably Chester Alan Arthur. Those would be my top five picks.
Okay, interesting. I won't ask you who your bottom picks are. I won't put you on the spot that way. That is great. And then you also do YouTube videos, and we've seen some of those. We've watched them with our girls, and I think my favorite of all of your YouTube videos are actually the bloopers, because they are hysterical. And I think listening to your mom giggle in the background is one of the best parts of it. Tell us about the YouTube videos that you're doing.
So actually, it was Kirk Cameron who gave us the idea when we met him in Nashville. He's like, Salman, you should do sit-down videos and present in these short videos. And so we took that. And we decided to create a YouTube channel.
Okay.
So my mom and I would sit down in the den, and I have 30 to go along with U.S. History Bites. But before we actually recorded the session, I did sections off my books. We kind of just thought of the YouTube channel as going to be like me giving short videos about different historical figures. Because I remember me and my dad talking, I'm like, hey, I could do one on Winston Churchill, I could, you know, et cetera. So that's why the first videos are just on Marquis de Lafayette and Benedict Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom said, you know, something like, well, why don't we actually do them off his books so that people can reference the YouTube channel when they read his books?
Mm-hmm.
So I have 30 uploaded for all the sections of my books in the first book, 45 for each of the presidents, and then I'm going to have some videos up for Tolkien, hopefully in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, that's great. So these are like the Cliff Note versions. We actually don't even have to get the books, right? I'm just kidding. Get the books and then watch the videos to go along with them, right?
Yes, I actually, in some of the videos, if you're a very careful listener, I don't mean you in specific, if my audience is listening carefully, I actually give a few facts that I didn't present in my books that I thought would be additional interesting information for anybody who was watching it.
So great. Now, where do you record those videos? Because it looks like you're in this very professional office. Is that at your house?
It is. It's actually our den where I do all my schoolwork every day.
Oh, wow. Okay. What is it about history that you love so much?
I think not having as much time to think about it, I'd say one of the reasons I love studying it is because I love seeing the hand of providence in different things.
Mm.
I love like reading about the life of Tolkien and seeing how I think it was, I know it was providence that got him sick in France, and he had to go back to England, and he was never sent back because he just kept getting sick every time they were about to send him back to fight. And I see that as an interesting providential moment. Just other moments in the history of our nation or the history of the world, like a lightning bolt that almost hit Martin Luther that changed the world.
Hmm.
Different things like that. They really interest me and give me a better appreciation for God and what he does and his hand in history. And I'd say also that a lot of the stories just interest me. I just read them and I find them fascinating to learn about. I think I'm particularly interested in studying the wars, not for the horrific aspects of them, but I like strategy. I like seeing the pieces in the puzzle and how everything works out or how it didn't work out. And I'd also say that we can learn a lot about about our time now and so much about why the world is why it is by studying the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously every little piece of what's going on in our world right now has something to do with something that went on the last century or the century before or thousands of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. History repeats itself always. I remember when you were, when I heard you on Kirk's podcast, and that was, I think, about 2 years ago that you did that one, because you were 13 at the time, and you had talked about how you desired to get into politics, but that you were wanting to pursue being in the military first. Is that still the direction that you're planning to go? Do you want to do military and then get into politics?
So to be honest, since then, I've kind of done a bit more thinking about it. And now that I'm getting closer, like next year, hopefully, my mom wants to start me in a college online program. So as I was coming closer to it, I was starting to think about, first of all, not because of not wanting to serve my country or anything, I just started to lose interest in being in the Air Force. I'm actually in a program called Civil Air Patrol, which is an auxiliary arm of the Air Force.
Sure.
But I kind of lost interest in doing that. And the thing about politics that I began to understand is two things. One, it's very risky, and not that I'm up for a challenge or a little risk, of course, but when, let's say in 5-10 years, I'm married, if I ever had to run for re-election and I lost, you know, what would that do to family life? I have a friend of mine who has been in politics for many years, and he just lost an election, and now he had to stop what he was doing, pack up at his office, and basically change his whole life around and get this new job.
Mm.
So I began to think about it from that angle a little bit more, not as much just about myself, you know, how can I become the next great leader of America?
Sure.
And I think now what I really see myself doing is I've come to realize how much I love teaching.
Mm.
And I think my dad has always encouraged me, you know, to do what I really want to do, you know, not unless it was foolish. But he's always thought of me as a professor. He would always say, I see you as a professor in a robe teaching lectures. And so I think the course I want to head as of now, and hopefully start going in that direction soon, is getting a PhD in 20th century military history and Christian literature, and teaching that at some conservative college like Hillsdale, which is becoming, or certainly is now, a prominent conservative college, one of the few.
Yeah, I agree. I could completely see you doing that. You seem like you would grow easily into the professor type, and I think you would be excellent at it. You already have such a great presence about yourself. You're personable, you know, when you're doing your videos and when you meet people. I know every time we've seen you at conventions now, we've seen you at a few, and you always have people at your table talking to you, and you're engaging with them, and I think you would do an excellent job of being a professor.
Well, thank
you. And you know, being able to take God's history and point people back to Jesus, I think would be great. I think you could have a huge influence, and you don't have to be in politics to influence hearts for Jesus. So I think you would do a great job with that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So are you going into your junior year or sophomore year right now?
10th grade.
10th grade. Okay. All right. So you've got about 3 years left of school. So,
yeah.
Okay. Wow. That is exciting. So you've got another book that you're working on right now. Hopefully that'll come out sometime, and you're thinking in the fall.
Yes. I'm working on a fourth project, and hopefully I'm hoping to have it done, written by the end of September, hopefully. And, my parents and I are hoping it could be released sometime before the new year. So we don't have a rush to get it finished before conventions like we usually do.
Sure. Good idea. What are you, at conventions, I know you speak. What do you speak on?
So I speak on different topics for my book. My first lecture that I continued into this year was just an overview of U.S. history based off my first book. Then my second one is a list of my top five best U.S. presidents and bottom five worst U.S. presidents and why. In that section, slightly based off my president's book, I give a short biography of their life and then analyze their presidency. And then my third one, which is my favorite to teach, is on J.R.R. Tolkien's life. I just teach about his life from birth to death, talk about leading influences in what shaped and crafted his creation of Middle-earth and the Lord of the Rings, talk about his friendship with C.S. Lewis, which always excites people in the audience. I usually get questions about that afterwards. So,
So cool. Okay, so let me ask you this. You're talking to a group of students, and let's put them at middle school, high school students, who are completely uninterested in history. They want nothing to do with it. It's just a bunch of boring stories and facts. How do you encourage those kids? What do you tell them? How do you get kids excited about history?
Well, I think maybe my mom's always told me that one of the reasons she found history so boring was because of the way it was presented. She still remembers his name. It's slipping my mind right now, but she said she had this high school history teacher that stood at the board with his little you know, pointer at the chalkboard, and in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Write that down in your notebooks. Don't forget it for the test. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I kind of started to realize that the best way to appeal to people in this time period, when a vast majority of Americans, first of all, doesn't like history, thinks it's boring, and second of all, would never sit down to read a textbook on their own, I thought it would be a good idea, and my mom and dad have helped me a lot with this, is to set up a history book where there's a lot of pictures and fun graphics that help draw people in.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it was history or science or math, just because of the way the book looks, they want to read what's in it. And I've had that same kind of thing happen to me with my third book on Tolkien. I've had people who say they aren't interested in his life at all, they've never read his books, who have read my book, and suddenly this 71-year-old lady tells me she's going home to read The Hobbit for the first time because she absolutely loved the book.
Oh, wow.
So things like that, I think it's just the way it's presented.
Sure.
Because obviously everything that's told in history is not going to please everybody. And something that annoys me is when people try to rewrite history to please people or make it more accurate, if you will, to their viewpoint. You can't always... History doesn't always go the way we wish it would,
right?
Of course. So I think it's a lot of it is about just presenting it in a fun and appealing way that's just accessible and allows people to come into it with the mindset, not so much that it's just boring retelling of the past, but you're actually learning about our world and different fascinating stories. Because I've talked to people at homeschool conventions who aren't interested in history at all. And then I'll mention something about Benedict Arnold or somebody, and they'll go, oh, really? I never knew that. That's interesting.
Wow. Now, so far the books you've written, I mean, the first two you wrote were U.S. history specific. Do you plan to write any in the future, maybe on world history, or are you still working through that?
So I'm in future projects, I always want to stay on history, of course. I'm hoping to keep U.S. history, of course, always in the forefront of whatever I'm talking about. But I think I would be interested in doing some more about world history and different events and people in it in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Well, it is very exciting what you've done. Your books are excellent. I know that they have had a huge impact on a whole lot of people and have really helped to make history fun for a lot of kids. I mean, they're very easy to read. It's a history book that, you know, my daughter can just pick up and just read a couple chapters and enjoy it on her own instead of a big, huge textbook, which, you know, textbooks are oftentimes excellent too, depending on how they're written. But they can be fun as well. But these are great. They're just quick reads. They're just short little chapters. And like you say, they're history bites. They're just little bits of history to just make history come alive. And what I love about them is you can take maybe a couple of, you know, in U.S. history bites, you've got those 30 major events. So you could maybe read a couple of them and say, oh, this is interesting. And then really dive into that particular part of history.
Yes.
Because we don't have to know every single thing about every bit of history. But I love that you just give us little bites of history to just pique our interest in what, you know, what our country is and how it has come to be. And so thank you for what you've done. Thank you for all the hard work that you've put into this. And we wish you the best as you continue writing. And I know that God will continue to use you to be an encouragement to not only my kids and my family, but to hundreds and thousands of others as well. So, and you also are offering to do a giveaway, correct, of each of your books. So you've got the three books. And so we're going to do a giveaway contest through the podcast. And so we'll have three lucky winners who will get to win one of your books. Where can people find you?
So my books are available at historybites.com or on Amazon.
Or on Amazon. Okay. And then where can they find you on YouTube?
If you go to historybites.com, there's a link for our YouTube channel. But if you go to the search bar on YouTube, if you search U.S. History Bites or History Bites or Solomon Schmidt, my video should pop right up. It's me sitting at the desk.
Okay, sounds great. We will put those links in the show notes as well. So, Solomon, thank you for your time today. You have been a blessing and an encouragement, and we wish you the very, very best in your writing.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you.
For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, Check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.